Good morning. I'm Lisa Davis.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Today we are talking with Monica Bearden. You not only co-wrote the wonderful book we talked about last week, Chocolate, A Healthy Passion, but is also the co-author of another fabulous book, The Baby Fat Diet. The Baby Fat Diet is perfect for any mom looking for some real-world strategies for balancing a healthy lifestyle, which we all know is tough to do when you're raising kids, whether newborns or older kids. Monica Bearden and co-author Shara Aaron are moms themselves as well as registered dietitians, so they know all about the challenges of juggling the hectic demands of mothering and the nutritional needs of the whole family. In a fun, humorous, and easy-to-digest way, The Baby Fat Diet presents nutritional information, tips on healthy eating, serving sizes, which is one of my issues, meal suggestions, and gets into concrete and practical ways to help keep everyone in the family eating healthy and getting fit. What makes it even better is that each chapter has a place afterward to write down your goals for change. It's a fantastic way to bring all that information into your own life. Well, Monica, welcome back again to It's Your Health.
Thank you. Great. I'm happy to be here.
I love your book. As you can tell, I just loved your book. And I wanted to ask, now in chapter one, I just wanted to dive right in, is called Not Eating for Two. Now, isn't that contrary to what pregnant women are told?
You're right. Most of us believe that once you're pregnant, you can eat whatever you want. And if you think about it, when the baby is actually first conceived, it's itty-bitty, smaller than a grain of rice, so you really don't need that many extra calories. And up until the third trimester, the baby doesn't add much in terms of calorie needs.
Mm-hmm.
So the term eating for two is actually not accurate.
Okay.
You only need really about 100 to 300 more calories going into the third trimester. Wow. Once the baby's putting on some weight, you can go a little higher with maybe 400 calories. But it also depends where you start in terms of your weight.
Mm-hmm.
So if your pre-pregnancy weight is underweight or normal weight, you're going to need a few more calories than someone who starts their pregnancy overweight.
I see. Okay, because I know a lot of women will start eating a lot because they feel like, oh, well, I am eating for two and I need to keep eating and it's okay to get really large. And what you're saying is such good information because, again, it seems like the rest of the media is saying something else. Now, can you go ahead.
What I want to mention is what's very important, and I teach prenatal nutrition classes, and I've been teaching them for a while. And what I always say to my patients, is what's important to do when you're pregnant is make sure that you're eating nutritionally rich food.
Okay.
That's where the focus needs to be. So it has nothing to do really with the calories, but it's making sure that you're eating these nutritionally rich foods that are going to keep you healthy and in tip-top shape, and it's going to help you to create a healthy, healthy baby.
Well, that's what's so great about your book is, everything is in there. I mean, it gives you the foods, but can you name a few of them for us now, and then people will have to go out and get the book?
yes. And as you mentioned, we've got shopping lists in our book based on what your needs are. We've got menus in the book
at
different
calorie
levels. But some of the most important things to do when you're pregnant in terms of what you're eating is making sure you're getting variety in each of the different food categories and that you're eating enough of the different foods in the different food categories. So what does that mean? Well, if you're looking at your fruits and vegetables, at the end of your day, actually count on one hand, did I get at least 5 fruits and vegetables today? And if you didn't, make sure you hit at least 5.
Okay.
When you're looking at your grains and your carbs that you're eating, how many of those were actually whole grain carbs? More than 50% of them should have been whole grain carbs. So if I'm going to eat bread, it needs to be whole wheat bread. If I'm going to eat pasta, it needs to be whole grain, whole wheat pasta. If I'm having crackers that day, they need to be whole grain crackers. And what this is going to do is it's going to add nutrition. It's going to make your diet nutritionally rich, giving you the most nutrition that you need, like I said, to keep yourself healthy and to make a healthy baby. And actually, there's a website you can go to check yourself in terms of number of servings and variety,
mm-hmm.
as well as serving sizes, and that's mypyramid.gov.
Oh, okay. Oh, great.
You go there. They've got a section just for pregnant women. You put in your own information, and it will tell you how many servings you need of each of the different foods, and it'll give you variety as well as serving sizes.
Oh, that's fabulous. Now, you talk in your book about healthy options for fat, salt, and sugar cravings. Can you tell us some
yes.
of those?
All right. So when you're pregnant, and when you're not pregnant, you crave all kinds of foods.
I was going to say, this book is great whether you're pregnant or not, by the way, or even if you've ever had a kid. The information really applies to everybody.
Right. I mean, I counsel women whose children are now going off to college and they've decided they want to lose the baby fat. So mm-hmm. it works for everybody. Mm-hmm. In terms of these cravings for fat, salty, sugar, it's okay that you have these cravings, but it's how you respond to these cravings. And there's a couple things you can do to help yourself. The first thing you can do is make sure that you're never really, really hungry. And that is making sure that you're eating on a schedule. That way, when one of these cravings hits, you're somewhat in control mm-hmm. of what you're eating and how much you're going to eat.
Okay.
The second thing you want to do is you want to try to find foods that will satisfy cravings for those comfort types of foods without going overboard. And there's two ways you can do that. One is eat what you're wanting, but eat it in a portion-controlled way. So, for example, if I really want a cheeseburger, instead of going, let's say, to your favorite fast food restaurant and eating a quarter pounder, have the small children's meal size portion of that cheeseburger and eat it slowly and really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want fries, for example, don't supersize those fries.
Yeah.
Get the Happy Meal portion of those fries. So we're not saying don't indulge in those cravings. Just make sure that you're able to control the portions. The second thing you can do, if you're wanting fatty, salty, nuts are full of nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
I call them nutrient powerhouses. So eat some nuts. Eat something like that versus potato chips, which don't have as much nutrition as your nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you want something sweet, try eating some really sweet fruit. So instead of going for something that's high in calories and fats and maybe not as nutritionally rich as a piece of fruit, try eating fruit, and if you need to dip it in a little bit of chocolate, that's okay.
I was just about to bring up the chocolate after last time. And I have, by the way, been watching my serving sizes on that.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Now, another thing that I love about your book is you have these little fabulous facts, and there's one that I just wanted to read that I thought was so interesting. It says, incredibly, the vanilla aroma alone may be enough to satisfy your cravings for sweets. The sweet vanilla scent sends messages by way of neuropeptides from your gut to your brain that can actually fool you into thinking that you have satisfied your sweet tooth. So I thought that was really interesting because I love the smell of vanilla. I absolutely love it.
Oh, well, that's wonderful, because the research does show that it helps to satisfy that craving. And so whether you're buying it as a lotion
mm-hmm.
or putting candles in your house, that's a great way to help yourself, especially if you know that, you know, I'm not really hungry, I don't really need to eat right now. Trying that vanilla scent would be helpful. You can even put it on some, you know, get the vanilla-scented lip balm. That way it's right on your lips.
Oh, yeah, that's it. I know. You know, and it's funny, in your other book, in the chocolate, a healthy passion book, there was some recipes. It was for a mint chocolate lip balm. And I'm thinking, I would just eat it. I mean, it just sounded so good. Okay, yeah, I'm out of control. Anyway, now in chapter two, I'm kind of going through chapter by chapter. You talk about the importance of protein and iron for pregnant women. Can you tell us about that?
Right. Well, immediately after your pregnancy, and delivery, your body's gone through some trauma,
mm-hmm.
and you need to rebuild and replenish. And protein and iron help you with that. So what we do is we go through and talk about some really good lean sources of protein and how to incorporate them into your diet to help your body do just that, and that is to heal.
Mm-hmm.
You're having to rebuild muscle. You're having to replenish your blood losses that happen during labor. So it's very important. And it's also going to help you, by the way, protein's also going to help you with your weight loss because it's very satiating.
Oh,
so
okay.
Lean sources of protein, not just the typical we think of chicken breast, fish, but also looking at nuts, beans, lentils to help you mm-hmm. with your weight loss and to recover.
Now with tuna, is that something that women should stay away from because of the mercury, or is that something you can eat once in a while?
No, tuna is actually a great way to add lean protein sources as well as those wonderful omega-3s to your diet.
Okay.
What's recommended is no more than 2 servings per week when you're pregnant. After your pregnancy, if you're breastfeeding, I would stick with the 2 servings, no more than 3 servings a week. You can find tuna that's lower in mercury. What's recommended is regular tuna, not albacore, but regular tuna in spring water is one of the lowest in the mercury levels.
Oh, really? Okay, so I've always heard you're supposed to look for the albacore for some reason, and that was healthier or something, so that's good to know.
Not in terms of the contaminants.
It's better to just have
the regular tuna in spring water.
All right, now you had brought up foods for healing, obviously, the protein and iron, and you also talk about anti-inflammatory foods. Now, what are they and why are they important?
Well, if you can imagine, when your body goes through trauma, anytime it's fighting an infection or with your pregnancy, with your labor, there's a lot of inflammation that happens internally. And so what's important is to eat foods, and we talked a little bit about this when we're talking about chocolate, eat mm-hmm. foods that are high in flavonoids mm-hmm. that actually have anti-inflammatory properties. Omega-3s that you find in fish, as well as foods now are actually being enriched with the omega-3s. What they do is they help your body to heal and to decrease inflammation, which is very important because that immune response of inflammation inside your body can actually lead to other unhealthy illnesses. Oh. So what you want to do is you want to control the inflammation internally, and you want to help your body heal again.
Okay.
So salmon, tuna are great things, but also these flavonoid-containing foods such as berries, garlic, soy, we mentioned chocolate and cocoa.
Mm-hmm.
Those foods are going to help your body recover and help the inflammation go down.
All right. Well, speaking of recovering, one of my favorite topics, since I am a major lactivist, I admit it, is breastfeeding. And talking about the importance of breastfeeding, and you have a chapter on that, chapter 3, if you can tell us your feelings on breastfeeding.
Well, in terms of, you're right, breastfeeding is the best thing for the mom and the best thing for the baby's mm-hmm. health. But in addition to that, it's a great weight loss aid.
Yes.
Your body is doing about an hour of aerobics a day just by breastfeeding.
Wow. That's great.
Yes. So it takes energy to nourish another human being and to help them grow.
Yeah.
And so that energy is going to aid in your weight loss.
Mm-hmm. And it also helps the uterus contract back to a small.
Oh, yeah. You'll get that flat belly much quicker. And you can feel the cramping as you're breastfeeding. And people should feel wonderful with that feeling, because what it's doing is it's actually bringing your stomach back to that flat place that it was before the baby.
Okay, yeah. Now, how much water should a mommy be drinking when she's breastfeeding? I'm assuming it would be more?
Well, what they recommend is that every time you sit down to breastfeed, you have a big glass of water next to you.
Okay.
That way, it's a cue to remind you to drink. We cannot rely on our thirst center. Once you're thirsty, it's actually way past the time when you should have drank something.
Oh, I didn't
So
know
it's
that.
Very important at least to be drinking a big glass of water every hour.
Okay.
And to make sure when you sit down to breastfeed that you have a drink of water.
Oh, okay. Well, again, and if anyone has problems with breastfeeding, because it is tough. You know, a lot of people think it should just happen naturally. I had a lot of problems. There is another interview with the lactation consultant, Lucia Jenkins, on my site. It's yourhealthradio.org that I would encourage people to check out. Now, you also talk about, and this was a big problem with me, sleep deprivation and overeating. My daughter, who has Asperger's, was never a good sleeper, still isn't. And I know that when you're up a lot, it's easy to eat. And then when I read that, it actually can make you eat more, you know,
yes.
physiologically. I thought that was really interesting, if you can tell us about that.
Right. That's going to be one of the biggest sabotagers to your weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not sleeping, and which all new moms deal, well, not even just new moms, all
yeah.
moms deal with.
Yeah.
So it's very important to know that and to be able to identify that, because a lot of women, when they go through the mid-afternoon carbohydrate cravings and they don't understand why, it's very easy to give into it. But understanding that sleep deprivation, and studies show this, sleep deprivation causes certain hormones in your body to increase that are going to increase your cravings for sweet and starchy foods. And those are those carbohydrate cravings that a lot of women get.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the first thing you can do is try to get more sleep. So as we all say, sleep when your baby sleeps. Try to sleep as much as you can. Make sure you have someone helping you so you can get some shut-eye. But if you can't do that, okay, that's fine. When you have those carbohydrate cravings, teach yourself to grab healthy, nutrient-rich foods. Fruits and vegetables are all carb. They're almost all carbohydrates. So that should satisfy your carbohydrate craving, but it's the behavioral aspect that women need to get over. So instead of reaching for those potato chips or some kind of processed food, teach your body to reach for something that's healthy and nutritious and wholesome, such as a fruit or a vegetable.
Okay. Now, later in the book, you talk about keeping your kitchen pure, and I'm skipping to that because that has a lot to do with, if those chips aren't in the house, you're not going to be reaching for them. And especially if you have a baby and it's hard to get out, if you can stock your kitchen with healthy foods, it makes it so much easier to make the right choices because they're right there.
Well, it's so true. And out of sight, out of mind says
mm-hmm.
it all. If you don't have those tempting, unhealthy, nutrient-rich, poor foods sitting in front of you, it's going to be hard to get it.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, especially if you're a new mom, it's hard to get in the car and go to the store and get it. So you want to make sure that your kitchen is helping support your goals, your weight loss goals. And in the book, we actually have which foods you need to get out of your house and which foods you need to replace them with. So going through that list and making sure that you have a clean and pure kitchen that's going to help you in terms of your weight loss is great. One of the best things you can do for yourself is keeping your fruit on the counter.
Okay.
Keep it on the counter to remind yourself every time you pass by them or every time you go into the kitchen because you're hungry to eat a piece of fruit. And that's going to fill you up. The fiber and the carbs is going to help you.
Okay. No, that makes so much sense. I mean, what I used to do sometimes if I did buy a treat of some kind is I would have my husband hide it. I'd be like, eat a little bit. And I'd be like, or I would have him take it to work with him or something just so, you know, I mean, I know that's going to extremes. But, just because, again, if you have it around, it's a lot harder to not eat it. Now, let's talk about exercise, because, of course, that's always key in losing weight. But now, obviously, it would depend on whether a woman has a C-section or not, when she's allowed to start exercising. You can tell us about that.
Right. Well, all doctors, they have their own opinions on it. Most of what I've seen, it's about 6 weeks after when you go to the doctor and they clear you.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that you're cleared for exercise. But there's so many little things that you can do. One of the best things that I've found, especially in getting your core back to normal, so meaning your back, your stomach area, is you can do Pilates at home with a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Just popping a DVD in when the baby's sleeping or sitting there next to you is a great way to start your exercise regimen slowly and gently and getting those muscles back into shape. But finding any opportunity, research shows that you don't have to do your exercise all at once to get the benefits. You can actually break it up into 3 10-minute exercise bouts throughout the day. And I know everyone's got 10 minutes here and there throughout the day where they can exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So finding those 10 minutes here and there, making sure you're getting your heart rate up, you're working those muscles, is extremely important to getting back into the exercise routine. And if you weren't in an exercise routine before, it's a great way to get your body exercising and make it part of your everyday habit.
Now, when you do those 10 minutes, do you have to, so like 10 minutes be cardio, maybe 10 minutes yoga, 10 minutes Pilates, or 10 minutes walking? Should you try to mix it up?
You can, or you can do the same thing, whatever's comfortable for you.
Okay.
Once you get into your exercise routine, and it's part of your daily lifestyle, it's no longer, something I've got to do that's extra. But it's just something that now is naturally part of what you're doing. Mixing it up is a great idea.
Okay.
You want to constantly shock the body. You don't want to acclimate to any one type of exercise.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're starting out, you know, whatever you can do is better than doing nothing, especially when you're sleep deprived, if you just had your child, or if you're busy and stressed out. Just getting up and moving is great for you. And what you'll find, even though it takes energy to get over that hump to start exercising, your energy level will soar once you started exercising.
Yep, that's true. Now, I found that it really makes a big difference. Now, something that I mentioned in the intro that I struggle with still is serving sizes. Because, again, I'm always eating all the right foods, but then I'm just eating too much of them. So you had said that there are some portion control strategies in your book.
Yes, and this is a major area of concern. Research shows that about, on average, Americans eat out 5 times a week.
Wow. I'm not one of them.
Exactly. Well, that's great, because when you're home, you control the ingredients, the fat, and the salt that go into your food. But a lot of Americans are eating out, like I said, on average, 5 times a week. So what's very important here to realize is that value for money is huge. So what you're getting is you're getting these huge portion sizes, these huge serving sizes at these restaurants. That need to be controlled. At home, our dishes, our bowls for cereal, they've also gotten bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening is we live in a culture where the serving sizes have just become huge. And what we call it is portion distortion. We no longer know what an appropriate portion of food is.
Yes, I agree.
And so it's teaching yourself to do that. So there's some things you can do. If you're in a restaurant, just have them automatically bag half of what's going to be on the plate to take home. That way you're not tempted to overeat. So that's the first thing you can do at a restaurant. You can also share something with a friend. But just making sure that you're not tempted to eat that huge, I live here in Texas. I mean, if you order a steak, it's a whole huge plate, 10 to 12 ounce steak. So making sure that you're not tempted by having all of that in front of you at the restaurant. At home, making sure that your plates and your dishes, your serving utensils, that they're all smaller. Mm-hmm. That actually helps. Just serving yourself a smaller amount of food can decrease your calories.
Okay.
Research shows that in the toddler years, we lose the ability to gauge how many calories we actually need. Mm-hmm. And what you start to do is you start to base how much you're going to take in by how much is served to you.
Oh,
and again, that starts in toddler years. Research shows that the more food that's in front of someone, the more they're going to eat. If that same person is served less food, they actually are as satisfied and eat less just with a smaller serving of food.
Oh, okay.
So those are some strategies that people can use.
So like using like a salad plate for your main dish rather than, you know, and using a big plate. Because everyone takes a little salad plate and the big plate, you know, like switch it up, you know.
Right. You can switch it up. Also, you know, when you're serving something like mashed potatoes, use a regular teaspoon instead of a huge spoon. You will end up with less mashed potatoes on your plate than if you use one of those huge spoons. I actually did that during Thanksgiving. I put out a small spoon in the mashed potatoes, and there was a lot less mashed potatoes on everyone's plate just with that small spoon.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, geez. Now, speaking of overeating, what is the double dinner trap?
Oh, and this happens a lot. Mm-hmm. The children are hungry earlier than when the other spouse gets home.
Oh, yeah.
So what ends up happening is you eat dinner with your children when you sit down and feed them. And then when your spouse comes home, you sit and you eat again. Or you've eaten so early in the day that you end up eating again before you go to sleep. So just realizing that, first of all, that choosing when you're going to have your dinner. I'm either going to sit down and eat at this time, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock with my children, or if my spouse gets home at 7:30, 8 o'clock, that's when I'm going to eat my dinner. And making sure that when you do sit at one point or the other, that maybe you're just eating a piece of fruit, so you're adding to that fruit and vegetable count that I had mentioned before to get to 5.
So while your kids are eating, then you can grab a piece of fruit or something instead of eating what they're having and then having another dinner? Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, and you also talk about a daily eating schedule, and that's really, you know, I'm going to eat breakfast at this time and lunch and snacks and really planning it out. That's important.
So important. And, you know, one of the things that this all brings to mind is that most people don't realize, because everyone focuses when they want to lose weight on the food itself and calories.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many strategies that need to be employed to help yourself lose weight, and this is one of them. This is so important. Research shows that if you eat breakfast around the same time every morning, or people that eat breakfast around the same time every morning, typically have lost a greater amount of weight and have kept it off for a long period of time. The government actually has a weight loss database where they track the habits of people who have lost weight and have done it successfully and have kept it off. And breakfast is one of the shining stars of that. So what we're finding is that your body expects to eat at certain times.
Okay.
What you don't want to do is have your body in a state where it's thinking, oh, I need to conserve energy because I don't know when I'm going to eat next. So by putting yourself on a schedule and trying to stick to that, your body's going to burn energy more efficiently because it's confident that it's going to get energy at a certain point during the day.
Okay. And that's
so what you don't.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So what you don't want to do is put yourself in what they call, a mini starvation mode, or at a point to where your body feels like it needs to conserve energy and not burn as much.
Oh, okay. And that exactly relates to when you talk about how to keep your metabolism in top shape.
Exactly.
Eating regularly.
Exactly. You eat breakfast around the same time every morning. And breakfast is very important. A lot of people go through the morning without eating breakfast. Mm-hmm. You eat something in the morning. Typically, something with carbohydrates and protein is great. So yogurt, piece of toast, yogurt, a banana, a bowl of cereal is a great way to start the day. And then you want to eat regular intervals, so about every 3 to 4 hours. And what that's also going to do is not only help you burn energy more efficiently, but it's going to help you control any out-of-control eating, because you're never going to be so hungry that your cravings take over or that you eat whatever's in front of you.
Exactly. Yeah, the longer you wait, you know, then all of a sudden you start, you can eat so much, you're eating so much faster because you're so hungry. And before you know it, you've eaten three bowls of cereal or, you know, instead of just getting up and eating something. And I made a big change and it makes a big difference. Just get up, even if you have a piece of fruit, you know, a piece of whole grain toast, or you were saying it's important to have protein in the morning, right? Because that helps to fill you up as well.
Exactly. That's going to satisfy you for longer.
Oh, okay. Now, we only have a few minutes left, but I wanted to get to, you talked in your book about the Eat Like Your Kids challenge that you took. Can you tell us quickly about that?
Sure. A lot of parents, when they have their little ones, up until about, you know, toddler years when they start to get picky, they're very particular about what they feed to their children.
Yes.
They make sure that they have plenty of fruit, they eat plenty of vegetables. And what you see, what's interesting, is their little ones are eating plenty of fruits and vegetables, but the parents aren't getting their five a day.
Mm-hmm.
So something that we do is we challenge our parents to eat on the same schedule as their little ones, as well as the same foods. And the amount of fruits and vegetables skyrocket, and they find that they're more in control of their eating because they're eating at regular intervals just like their children.
Oh, okay. All right. And they're probably watching their serving sizes as well.
And exactly.
You talked about that, right? Putting, like, for your kids, you'll put, like, carrot sticks or, you know, fruit and vegetables in little cups and, you know, little dishes and things.
Well, exactly. So something that we do is when we leave the house, we have little baggies of snacks. That's a great thing for the parents to do also.
Okay.
So put some snacks, healthy snacks, like you're putting for your children, in little baggies. And when you're out and your children have their snacks, you eat alongside them.
Okay.
And what you'll find, again, is that you're eating at regular intervals. You're eating healthier foods. They're portion controlled because they're in these little baggies. And the weight just naturally comes off when you use a lot of these strategies.
Okay. Now, also, you know, this is good for moms who are going back to work to bring these snacks. You have a whole chapter talking about that, that if you're going, you know, if you're working, and how to avoid the vending machines at work as well, is to you know, pack healthy snacks along. And the last thing I just wanted to touch on is, you know, the birthday parties and the birthday cake. Birthday cake, you know. You know, how do, you know, you're going to all these things now, you've got kids, and is it good to eat before you go? I think that's usually a good strategy so you're not famished, like you were talking about, and, you know, maybe just having a small piece of cake.
Right. We use that strategy not only when you're going to birthday parties or social events, barbecues this summer, also when you're taking your kid to their favorite fast food restaurant as a treat.
Okay.
Make sure you're not hungry when you get there. Fill up on some healthy, fiber-rich foods, such as, again, fruits and whole grains. So when you get there, you're able to enjoy the birthday cake, for example, but you don't go overboard and you can control the portion.
Exactly. Well, I want to thank you so much. I want to encourage everybody to go out and get the Baby Fat Diet, whether you've had a baby or not. I mean, it's just a great book. And it's so nice to have a book where everything is there. Any question you could have, shopping list, the whole nine yards. I want to thank you. And if you can give information, Monica, how people can get in touch with you.
Oh, sure. They can go to thebabyfatdiet.com.
Okay.
And we have a blog there that talks about